Lord, there are five that's on the road now. Thank you, and you are all welcome. We have got four business to deal with today here. The first it relates to consideration and adoption of a report in relation to the proposed amendment to the South African Police Service Act. And the second one is we will be deliberating on the presentation that was made by Honorable Mentor in our last meeting relating to Gender Equality Act and Human Rights Commission respectively. And the third one will be a 5-year draft strategic plan, and then finally consider the study form for the committee which we have set in Africa and beyond. I'm sure the presentations will talk to both those proposed study forms. But before that, we would then quickly look into the minutes and adopt the minutes before we move to any further business. If I were to say, did you manage to have the minutes before time to avoid reading them here sitting? Honorable Chuno?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. So you propose what? That they read for you? Or you read on your own while you
are? Let me try to hold members voting. I'd rather allow
maybe to check, except Honorable Mchunu, how many of us have we managed to go through the minutes? I think I would then set let the second few go through for us with them, so that we all have the content of their own. Can you take us through?
Draft minutes of the proceedings dated the 20th of October 2009, the agenda was stipulated for adoption in the adoption of October 2009. Briefing and presentation by Honorable Members, legislative proposal, consideration of the committee's short-term program, and consideration of the SAPS. The members who are present are indicated there, and the following members who attended on behalf of PC on women, youth and children and people with disabilities are also listed. The deliberation for the day, the chairperson welcomed members of the committee and guests, acknowledged officials and invited members from other committees. The chairperson explained the purpose of the meeting being to listen to the presentation by Honorable Mentor and invited her to present as a sponsor. On her presentation, Ms. Mentor gave a verbal presentation demonstrating her concern and that of other South African citizens in the manner in which Ms. Menya, the athlete, was unfairly and unjustly treated by the media and some critics. She emphasized the impact of such criticism, especially to her family and friends. According to her, it was the state's responsibility to have demonstrated courtesy and care towards handling of her matter. She argued that that both the Human Rights Commission and the Commission for Gender should have done much in a campaign of condemnation. She referred to international law in comparison to the local South African law in matters such as these. This, she mentioned, to ensure protection for the vulnerable, such as Ms. Menya. She blamed the South African Sport Body Athletics South Africa for not being cautious in dealing with this matter. She urged that Parliament should empower both the Commission of Gender Equality and the Human Rights Commission. he referred to an example of the Zimbabwe land grab process and how it affected the citizens. Semenyo's case will not disappear easily, since the state too seemed to have failed to handle it. Matter of diplomatic nature had to be considered as well. The state should be willing to fund the process of dealing with further amendments on reviewing the legislation. Mr. Labastak, Director of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, explained that although not dealing with the merits of the matter, the department is in the process of revisiting the whole act. They actually want to ensure that everything in the act is in line with the Constitution. He further announced that the comments are being submitted as the whole act is being redrafted. The department is also investigating the Semenya case, he said. Presentation on the Commission for Gender Equality. The chairperson requested both the representatives of the Commission for Gender Equality and the Human Rights Commission to talk to their presentation documents, since members only received them during the meeting and so did not have time to engage them. Ms. Mfana shows the acting CEO presented to the committee as follows. Honorable Mentor's submission is with the Commission for Gender Equality. He praised South Africa for its bold step to have established a commission such as one represented. He stated that the legislation has financial implications. The mandate should be executed in such a way that it ensures monitoring, investigation, researching, lobbying, and advising. The Commission will be willing to offer its full support and cooperation in the amendment of the legislation, and reference was made to sections that are stipulated. He ended by praising South Africa as a sovereign democratic state founded on values such as human dignity, non-racialism, and supremacy of the Constitution. Ms. Cohen, in her presentation for the Human Rights Commission, stated the following. Having stated the background which led to the invitation to the committee, she stressed how South Africans voiced out the condemnation of the manner in which Caster Semenya had been treated by the athletic body. Members were referred to the mandate of the Commission as amplified in the Human Rights Commission Act 54 of 1994. Most importantly, the Commission regularly participates in legislative processes. The objective of the proposed amendment was also outlined, thereby emphasizing gender and human rights issues. The role of international courts was outlined in line with the human rights violations outside South Africa. However, the mandate of the Commission is not recognized in other countries. There will be financial implications on amending the legislation. Domestic remedies should be exhausted first. Reference was made by the media to the media statement issued by the South African Human Rights Commission. Proposed amendments were duly made in Section 7E of the Human Rights Commission of 1994. The nature of the debate on Caster Semenya was degrading since she was called names. The role of government officials is to be magnified in cases like this. A suggestion was made that at least a comparative study could be done on African countries such as Kenya and Uganda. Comments and questions. Honorable Mentor thanked the stakeholders and the committee for the manner in which they handled or approached the answers. Mr. Ansley proposed or advised that the purpose of Ms. Mentor was to change the law, and she should be satisfied with the making reference to Chapter 9 institution. He also commented on the importance of both international courts and the human rights. He further wanted to know if the Commission for Gender meant that there was no financial implication, to which aspect the answer was clarified in that there was financial implication. Mr. Fisher wanted a holistic approach in the whole matter, especially because the committee has the power to approach the department for further input. Mr. Tobejane wanted to know from the two commissions if they had ever approached the department or proposed to the department. The Human Rights Commission responded by saying they often approach the department and the department interacts with them. The chairperson clarified with the committee that the Department of Justice is responsible for implementing the amendments, but the committee will take proposals and engage the department. It was announced that all the outstanding matters will be debated or deliberated during the next meeting, and the meeting was adjourned at 17 hours.
Thank you very much. Any amendments of the minutes?
I just wanted to ask that my lady included under the apology, because I was in communications that day. One of those long sessions.
Thank you. Any further? Yeah, you can, that's fine, don't
I'm going to the last page, page 4.
Yeah.
The first but last paragraph and the last one.
Mm.
And it's after the journey. Mm. No, let's say the fifth and the second.
Mm.
It's after the journey, once it's known. And the third person clarifies. So under that, requesting that maybe we have consistency. Because if we talk of methods for the January and the chapter, somebody, because once we have had a certain place, it comes to the public, then the person will think that the chapter is not only a certain method for the January, but other chapter.
I agree. In fact, we should not even talk about names, because once we deliberated and agreed, it becomes the decision of the meeting, the committee results, the committee business. And you don't even have to mention speakers by name, because it's not a narration of some sort. So we talk on behalf of committee. Once we finish, whatever we arrive at, because the minutes reflect the final decision, it becomes the committee. This is what the committee is after receiving clarification. This is what we resolve. I think you'll work on that, Matimazu, so that we don't single members, because tomorrow we'll be afraid to talk. Have you seen minutes where minutes are always said chairperson? So everybody will then say, where are the members here? Because it's only chairperson. It should become committee where you're wanted to talk about. You can only say the chairperson welcome people, that is very clear, it's understandable. But the rest, it becomes collective. So thank you for that, Mamchun. Any other input on the set of minutes? Thank you. Move for adoption. Thank you, Ma. Second, other? Thank you very much. So we would then, with correction, been adopting the minutes as such. Can we then look at the report of SAP's proposed amendment? You'll see there are two sets. One is one pager, one is two pages. The set, this one pager is what Parliament wanted us to write reports like. The one with two pages, I said, for purposes of us to understand what we were talking about, we cannot just write as if everybody was sitting in the meeting. We need where we, you know, talk for things so that it also helps in case of debate. Members should then recap what are the issues that we are summarizing them on this one. But the one that we are going to present in Parliament, it will be the one of Asia. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Can we then look at... Oh, they don't have... We look at the one pager, which would seek to reflect what we are going to present as a response to the speaker's instruction to work on this thing, and see if it reflects the feeling, the way you have been, you know, deliberating in the meeting.
Chairperson, can you please repeat what you have been saying with regard to this?
I'm saying these two pages report is almost the same as the one with one pager. But they are saying the one pager is in line with what Parliament specifically prescribed the manner in which they must write report in terms of, you know, whatever proposed legislation that you dealt with. But the one with two pages, I said, because not everybody was part of the deliberation, it is not everybody who understands what informed us to arrive at where we want. So you should therefore, the committee have a benefit of knowing why have we arrived at this particular decision, so that even if it comes from part of debate in the House, you should have, you know, a paper that assists you to capture what were the issues. So, but the one that we are going to consider, it will be this one page. Because it's the one that we are sending to the speaker once we have to read on it. Okay? You can also quickly take us through and then debate and indicate whether that is satisfied.
I'll start with the longer version. Thank you, Chair. Committee on Private Members' Legislative Proposals and Special Institutions. The report of the committee of the name I mentioned on the legislative proposal to amend the South African Police Service Act number 68 of 1995, Dr. Kola Banner, dated November 2009. The objectives of the proposed legislation. The proposal places into the issues that are on bullet points emanating from the actual proposal that was presented to the committee. The proposal places into the South African Police Services Act a set of provisions which compel the SAPS to act on the Independent Complaints Director's recommendations to ensure that there is promotion of proper police conduct, to consider the five different classes of complaints that can be laid with the ICD, consideration that a number of complaints received against the SAPS has significantly increased, consideration of a number of cases under investigation and how to avoid undermining the effectiveness of the police force, the process of implementing the recommendation and providing written reasons where it cannot, the financial implications for the state and the implications thereof. And the process followed. The legislative proposal was referred to the committee on 2nd July 2009. The committee was subsequently briefed on the object of the legislative proposal by Kola Banner, which includes the following. The committee consulted the Ministry of Police and the Portfolio Commission on Police. In their submission to the committee, the Ministry of Police indicated that the Minister of Police is in the process of drafting legislation to address the issues raised in the legislative proposal. After considering the legislative proposal and the submissions by the stakeholders, the committee recommends the permission not be granted to the member to proceed with the legislative proposal to be signed by the
On the first one, is there anything that you feel is not captured accordingly?
Did the ministry and the department, did they give any indication of when they would be in a position to present it before them?
They did.
Was there a timeline?
They did specify, you know, and indicate with date, which are not captured, but that they did very well to say by the beginning of next year they will be starting, you know, finalizing the final process of legislation that they are going to undergo. So for now, I'm sure that this is doing the consultation, getting this and that, but everything was regulated. Any other? I think the area that I thought it should be reflecting also is to say the sponsor of the proposed legislative amendment also agreed that the department therefore should be given an opportunity to come forward with that proposed amendment. She agreed in that meeting, and I think it might sound like we are undermining her, you know, cooperation if we don't reflect on this long vision. We may not worry about this short, but this one I guess, because it's the one that we are going to give also to her. Agreed? Thank you. The shorter vision.
The shorter one, the report of the Committee on Private Members' Legislative Proposals and the Special Petitions on the Legislative Proposal to amend the South African Police Service Act number 68 of 1995, Dr. D. Kola Banner, dated November 2009. The legislative proposal was referred to the committee on 2nd July 2009. The committee was subsequently briefed on the object of the legislative proposal by the member, to which include the following. The committee consulted the Ministry of Police and the Portfolio Committee on Police. In their submission to the committee, the Ministry of Police indicated that the Minister of Police is in the process of drafting legislation to address the issues raised in the legislative proposal. After considering the legislative proposal and the submissions by the stakeholders, the committee recommends that permission not be granted to the member to proceed with the legislative proposal. To be signed after adoption by the committee.
Correct.
Yes.
Thank you.
Shouldn't we then include the after the sponsor of the legislative proposal in fact agrees?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Somewhere there.
I think it is very important that sometimes we don't show as if people are not understandable when we are dealing with that. Hence, I'm saying I would agree that we need to capture that that the sponsor agreed that the proposal should then come from the department. Unlike just to say not granted, as if we were in a fighting mood, and then we were not, I must be honest. We were, all of us taking the interest of South Africa on board rather than ourselves. Okay? So you.
Okay.
Maybe raise it so that they hear what you're saying, because it's not. He wanted to raise something in relate to that.
While I appreciate what Honorable Member is suggesting, the standard report does not necessarily have to say everything that is said on the normal report, that is a longer report that is going to the presiding officer. Well, this one is going to be going to the ATC, and perhaps we should not really lead to a situation where names are also reflected on the ATC in that regard. Perhaps.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. I was saying that the two people who MC know that I don't agree with the honorable member to put your head to the sponsor. Let me be a language.
Especially because that has been in the
country.
Yeah, on the subject with you.
Okay. You wanted me to say that you're fast this. So should I say Nelvis?
Yeah.
Okay. No. I thought also we may because we, on top we said after Act 1995 we said D call up that Barnett.
Mm.
I don't find the significance of saying proposed by Miss Collerton again.
Mm.
That's why I don't sign. I wanted us to fine tune it in that way. That you remove that name again. We can't keep on throughout the whole thing talking about a person. We have made it. That's why it is good that on top you did not even talk the name. You close it so that it's been shown that it does not show form part of the entire. But the significance of the sponsor, you bracket it and then indicate that you recognize the sponsor. But it cannot then recur in the process when you unfold going down. Okay? So, Simon, once you sort that out. Thank you very much. I think I agreed on the whole content. Can we move to the second item on the agenda? Deliberations on the on Honorable Mentor's legislative proposal, the Human Rights Commission Act number 54 of 1994. Thanks, Chairperson. You are humanity, and I'm owing you something there. Okay. Yeah. What was the date, by the way? What was the date of that debate? 20th of October. So, Oh yeah, you're right. Thank you very much. We did receive the presentation by mentor and the stakeholders that were referred to in the minutes. Ours now is to check what do we then arrive at? Do we then give a go ahead to make the proposal, or do we then resort to the Justice Ministry and the women and what have you on the gender issues? We haven't had an opportunity to hear from the women and what have you. I don't know that ministry correctly. I would want to women and you don't seem to help. Of course, that ministry on women. We haven't
children and people with disabilities.
Exactly. We haven't had an opportunity of it. No, it's fine, Commander. Why specifically disabled?
Why are they silent?
No, that's the. No, I'm sure you have got a vested interest. But you are both women and disabled. Which one do you favor most? Women and disabled. Which one do you favor? You don't favor women. Thank you very much. We haven't yet received their presentation in that regard as to what is their position, what are they doing in relation to the proposed legislation that we are talking about. But I don't think that can hold us not to determine what we want to arrive at. So can I open it that we deliberate on the matter, give reasons why do we favor one side and not the other side, because they can't run parallel. It either being have to be continue with mentor or continue with the department. Which one do we then arrive at that? Of course, with reason. That will be forwarding if we were to make to convince other people.
Yes. Thank you, President. I was going to propose that let's invite
a new department, because she's creating a new department. Here's a proposal to say let's give them an opportunity to present before we arrive at determination.
Chairperson, I think that's a good idea.
Thank you very much.
Because they were there when the commissions were presenting. Maybe they are waiting for us.
Not the department. The department wasn't there.
The
woman that was there said
it was
a committee. It wasn't from there.
No, I'm talking about the committee was there.
Yeah.
But
the
department
wasn't
there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good idea that we invite them before we.
Of course, it will even help us not to to be have seen, you know, short circuit things that may come back to say, but we where why have you arrived at here without giving us an opportunity? Do we agree that we should then accord them an opportunity before we arrive at determination?
Yes.
Thank you very much. So we'll pack it until we give them an opportunity to. I'm sure it will be one of the priorities that we'll prioritize next year when we come back. Thank you. Oh, you were frightened that I might say now. Thank you very much. And then can we then move to the third item? We circulated this thing even that day. This five-year proposed draft was circulating amongst ourselves. Maybe, you want to run away? By the way, you said you favor which one? Okay, thanks, Major. Yeah, you are excused to. Did we manage to go through the five-year plan? No. So we are of course delaying ourselves because we can't present this and we keep being hammered by Parliament to say there are some other committees which didn't comply with the instructions. And every time they are saying so, I look down and then I'm getting worried because I've coordinated the work we have done but we are unable to adopt the final vision. So can I, yes.
Chairperson, I've gone through it, and I feel very comfortable that it can be adopted. And I don't think it's fair on the chair that we delay it, because I think from inside he's really trying to push.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to put the chair at a disadvantage.
Mm.
I know all the chairpersons are going to go for another training in a week's time. There's a lot of pressure on them. So I would like to propose that it be adopted. There could annually be
a
prioritization of specific focus for the year or whatever, but broadly speaking, I do believe a lot of work has gone into this document. And I want to propose that it be adopted.
Chair, I just want to know, I don't want to disagree with you completely, but I'm worried about the petition that can we adopt the petition as well, because I don't have a problem with the program. I looked at the program and we can rearrange the program. I agree. Mm-hmm. But I'm just worried about the petition because we don't even look at the petition.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the petitions.
Maybe if I were to recap on what we have said in that particular session, we said petitions that were forwarded to MA have lapsed, and therefore what we need to do is the secretariat to inform the petitioner that you have petitioned us in relation to 1, 2, 3, but because of the processes of going into elections, which automatically then made your proposal to be lapsed, it is not invalid. Therefore, we are requesting, if you are still interested, to re-forward, and then we will then resuscitate the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in case of the select committee, they've got their own way. Therefore, the content of the report in totality, we have got areas that does not affect us. They remain to be NCOP without us, and there are areas that are ours without them. Maybe I should also inform you that my effort to initiate a joint sitting to adopt the paper in totality seemed not to do well. They've got their own program which doesn't see them sitting very soon with us, which might take us, you know, quite some time and become unfair for Parliament to blend that thing with us, you know, having this report. I thought it's important to clarify, you know, these areas that we don't live here being confused that we are also taking areas that does not involve us.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that those that are going to be continuing, it means the NCOP, not us.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So in the light of that, what is the finality?
I'm still awaiting.
Yeah, because she proposed that to me, the content, irrespective of the area that I was clarifying, she feels we can, in principle, agree on and then allow the paper to be tabled. No, you are welcome. It's not a sin.
I think it's not a sin. I think in principle,
yeah,
we have to agree after the explanation that you have given. Yeah, we have to agree in principle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you. We will when we submit it, we'll remove the ones that are belonging to NCOP and take the area that is ours only, that affect us or jointly, but we'll leave, when we submit it, we'll leave the area that includes themselves. Okay? Thank you very much. Almost towards the last. The study tour, I'm sure, is where now we are going to see a feeling. We are going to see the world in this class. Presented by researchers. Show us the world. Let the world be small and fit in the four corners.
Oh, they're going to show us there.
Yeah. So when they wanted, you know, technology is something that they use when they wanted you to sign checks. Because they know.
You know, technology sometimes
becomes very nice.
Sometimes they say,
yes,
sometimes they say to you, you go, technology is wise. Don't worry going abroad or wherever.
Mama,
there I. What is this time for you are talking about? Because it's so that you know. To go and so what is like?
No, that we are supposed to take a decision in the information he's going to give us to say which country are we prefer in Africa, which country are we prefer outside Africa.
And then we go.
Then we go.
Oh, that's what I want.
Because nobody could have been taking a decision without you to say you should go to Angola. Then you'll ask me, when did you arrive at Angola? With whom were you arriving at there? Therefore, she's, you know, empowering us to arrive at a decision. Take us to that empowerment.
Thank you so much, my honorable members. We have about 22 slides to go through. However, we'll be as fast as we can. If I may just just make an indication to honorable members that they will each receive the basic document of this presentation tomorrow, and they can also study it and have time to look through it during the time that they are away. And if there's any amendments to be made, we can also make that as they come back in general. And also another point that we just wanted to bring across after I was prepared was that if we could maybe try and have a study tour as early as in the middle of next year or early next year, so if we wanted to come back and implement that which we have learned from other countries, it's going to actually work well if we do it as a rest. What we're going to then do, I'm going to look through the introduction. I will not read the whole long version. We just know already also from several presentations and documents that have been circulated amongst the members that South African citizens do have a right to petition parliament. They have a right to engage with the members of parliament, and there is a process that they need to follow in sending their petition to parliament. We have 10 countries selected. There is 5 African countries and 5 that are other continents that we will be reviewing for this. This is just to give a comparative analysis of all those best practice models internationally, so we can see when we review the current processes of petitioning in South Africa, which ones are similar to us, and hence we selected these 10 countries. And then we can decide from there, the committee then can decide from there which countries they would actually like to visit, one being the African country and the other being the Arabic continent region. The 10 countries are Australia, Canada, Germany, Scotland, United Kingdom. Those are the ones out of the continent. And in the continent, we've got Ghana, Namibia, Kenya, Uganda, and Malawi. As I've already mentioned, that the South African citizens, they have a constitutional right to petition, and they can actually express themselves. This is also seen, the petition is also seen as a good tool for participating in democracy. And how we have it defined is that it's a formal request to an authority to take action either by making a demand or requesting redress of a grievance. It is then the right of members in a democratic society to prepare and present presentations as and when the need arises. Hence, we look at those countries that do also give their citizens the right to do petition parliament. However, the different processes, as we go through this, we will see the different processes in the different countries. We will start with Namibia from the African country. Looking at Namibia, they've got a standing committee on petitions, and this is actually chosen and elected in terms of the National Assembly, Rule 31, Section 3, that the deputy of the petition, speaking to the petition committee. In the chapter 6 under the non-legislative procedures of Namibia, a petition means a document and method by which a matter may be brought before the National Assembly or any committee thereof for urgent consideration. What the petition committee does is that it has the right, and this is how they function with dealing with the petition. They have to draw the terms of reference for dealing with that particular petition. So it is the committee's responsibility to come with their own terms of reference as to how they will deal with the particular petition that's being brought before them. If the committee sees it if they're going to see the necessary, then they may establish a subcommittee which is going to deal with specialized topics. That is, if a petition is being brought to the committee, they will actually do like our South African committee, as our parliamentary committee does, is to say which particular committee. For instance, when you look at the legislative proposal of Ms. Mentor, it was actually somebody needed us to liaise with the committee on women, children, and persons with disabilities. Whereas with the petition, the same is going to occur, that should you feel that the petition does fall on the education committee, you have the right to actually go and call on them to assist with that particular issue. So in Namibia, what they do is actually establish a subcommittee that will deal with specialized topics of that particular issue. The committee may also obtain the comments of any other committee competent to deal with a specific subject matter. So once that is being referred to the committee, they do not necessarily have to take it back to the particular other committee that has or established the subcommittee. They can instead go to that particular committee which has, they can deal with a specific subject matter to actually make comments and refer those comments to the committee to assist it with the petition before them. When another committee is debating the subject matter, the Petitions Committee has a duty to obtain the comments of that committee. Further, looking at how Namibia deals with the petitions, the rules of the National Assembly do not contain a list of subject matters that may be reviewed by the Petitions Committee. However, these rules do empower the Petitions Committee to develop rules to govern the treatment of requests and complaints. As we have mentioned, that they will have the terms of reference coming to the rules as well. There isn't specific matters that have been listed as to which ones the committee can take, but they will determine the rules to deal with certain complaints or issues that are being brought over to them. And these rules must be used as the basis for the decision of the committee in each of the cases that they deal with. Furthermore, in Namibia, the rules do not prescribe the type of relief the committee can provide after considering a petition, which will then be determined by the committee as they are doing their own needs. That the committee should submit a report along with its recommendations to the rules committee after it has considered a petition, which means that the committee will be responsible to deal with the petition, and once it has been finalized and they have a report that needs to be submitted, they will do so along with its recommendations to the rules committee. That is after the final decision. The petitioners must be informed of the manner in which their petitions have been dealt with and the reason for any recommendation made. In so doing, it's just to inform the petitioners and to keep them as part of the process that do go along as the petitions committee are dealing with their petitions. So they do have the right as a petitioner that they should get feedback from the petitions committee as to how their petition has been dealt with, and also the recommendations that have been made to the particular petition that they send, also giving reasons for those recommendations. Now, looking at Uganda, the second African country, Part 4 of the rules of the procedure of the Parliament of Uganda interprets a petition as a written prayer of peace to Parliament, and includes all similar submissions, whether relating to public or private matters of general policy, or to redress local or personal grievances. In presenting a petition, a member shall confine himself or herself to a statement of the party from whom it comes, the number of signatures attached to it, each of the material allegations and the request contained in it. Any member may move a motion that a petition be rejected on the grounds that it is not properly and respectfully worded, or any other grounds, and if the motion is duly seconded and carried, the petition shall be rejected. So there are specific rules and also ways in which the petition should be written in the Ghana, in the Republic of Ghana. And once the petition is being presented in Parliament, if they see that it is not respectfully and properly worded, they can actually move that to be rejected.
I'm sure you don't finally confuse yourself because you're talking about Uganda, but you keep on saying Uganda.
I'm talking about Uganda.
Uganda. Oh, yes, Uganda.
In Uganda also, all petitions shall be laid on the table without question, and a petition may be ordered to be printed. Or, if relating to a matter other than a bill before committee, may be referred to a relevant committee by the Speaker or on the request of a member in the petition, which is also similar to what we have previously mandated that they can actually refer to the relevant committee, which will also be submitted by the Namibia and also be a subcommittee that they refer to. Looking at Kenya, the Republic of Kenya, as adopted by the National Assembly, is that the standing order described as a public petition as meaning a written prayer to the House by members of the public seeking redress of a grievance. A petition may be presented or submitted to the House by a member with the consent of the Speaker on a private bill which has been published in the standing order. In Kenya, a member shall give two sitting days notice to the clerk of intention to present a petition, which is they have a time that they give before the petition can be presented. 2 sitting days are required. And the clerk shall examine each such petition and ensure that it is presented in a manner, form, and content required by standing order. The Speaker may allow comments, observations, or clarifications in relation to a petition presented, and such total time shall not exceed 5 minutes. Once this has been presented, the Speaker can give them 5 minutes only to speak to anything regarding comments or any clarification that may be needed to inform the petition better. After notice has been given, a member presenting a petition may move that it be printed. Now moving over to Malawi, as our fourth African country. In Malawi, there is also a form that is being used to deal with petitions that petitioners need to sign, and no reference shall be made in a petition to any debate in the assembly. Petitions shall be presented only by a member, and it shall not be competent for a member to present a petition from himself, but such a petition may be presented by some other member on behalf of that member that has written the petition. If a petition requires the recommendation of the President, such recommendation shall be in writing and shall be deposited with the clerk at the same time as the petition. It shall also be, the petitions in Malawi shall be in English, in the English language, or accompanied by translation in the English language certified as correct to the best of the knowledge of the member that is presenting that particular petition, which then shows that also as we do in South Africa, that it gives the right that the petition can be in any of the official languages that we have. But in Ghana, it has to be in the English language, or it can either be in a particular language, but then has to be translated in the English language, as which probably also be done in our country. In presenting a petition, the member presenting it shall, at the appropriate stage in the order of business, proceed to the table and hand the petition to the clerk. So in Malawi, what they do is that they do not table it before time. The member that is presenting it is going to hand it over during the time that the order of business is proceeding. Moving to the third country in Africa is Ghana. In Ghana, every application to Parliament shall be in the form of a petition and must be presented by a member who shall be responsible for the observance of the rules. A petition not relating to a breach of the privileges of the House and which, according to the table, by the direction of Mr. Speaker, are those that will be the ones that are being presented. Also, a petition of a corporation aggregate shall be under its common seal. It is a rule that if the petition is of a corporation aggregate and does not have a common seal, it will not be considered, it will not even be the to be presented in the Parliament of Ghana. Also, in presenting a petition in Ghana, a member shall confine himself to a statement of the parties from which it comes, the number of signatures attached to each of the material allegations, and the request contained in it.
we should see medicine to be similar in all the other four countries that we have worked in Africa. Now, moving over to countries that are not in the continent, we will look at Canada as our first country. In Canada, a petition is being utilized as a tool of communication between the people and the parliament, similar to the system that is being used in South Africa, that this is an opportunity for the members of the public to engage with the members of parliament. This communication is addressed to the House of Commons and as such can only be done by the members of the House, not the petitioners themselves, which we do have similar as also the rules of our parliament also saying that the member of parliament will be the one that presents the petition that has been received. Furthermore, it is seen to be, in Canada, petition is seen to be a vehicle for political input and to invest policy making and the legislative processes. The petition process is therefore a manner in which public concerns can be raised in parliament. The clerk of petitions also examines each petition received, including signatures, to ensure that petitioners comply with the rules. Any forgery or fraud in the presentation of petitions or signatures, or any complicity or knowledge thereof may be dealt with as a breach of privilege, which means that if a member then decides to forge or use any kind of fraud in presenting the petition or the signature that are supposed to be represented in that petition, this may actually result in that particular petition not being carried forward because they will then lose the right to the privilege to continue to maintain that particular petition. Moving over to Scotland. Petitioning the Scottish Parliament is one of the key mechanisms that are employed by members of the public to directly influence MPs on issues of national concern. Once again, similar to the processes that we are having in South Africa and the view that we have, that this is an opportunity for the members of the public to be able to engage with the MPs. In Scotland, they have what they call the PPP. This is the Public Petitions Committee. And it is a parliamentary committee that is dedicated to considering petitions, which are considered individually by the committee during their meeting. The primary role of the committee is to hold the Scottish executive to account. Petitions in Scotland should always be in the public interest. Moving further on to Australia. The Parliament of Australia also employs petitions as a strategy for ensuring that the voices of members of the public are heard. In Australia, any citizen, resident, or group of citizens, or residents that are outside the Australian, any residents that are not from Australia may petition the Parliament to take action, guided, of course, by the standing orders of the House. The subject of the petition must be a matter on which the House has the power to act. A petition has to be announced by the clerk, be lodged with the clerk by 12 noon on the Friday to be presented on the Monday the following week. So the petition will be lodged with the clerk by 12 o'clock and therefore the clerk will immediately announce the petition that it can be presented on Monday. So that will be on the Friday, so that in the following week Monday it can be presented. Petitions lodged outside a normal sitting week are kept for the presentation at the next sitting of the House. Now looking at Germany. In Germany, anybody in Germany can make use of the right of petition. That includes adults, minors, journalists, and any foreign nationals that are in that country. The German Basic Law, which can be referred to as the Constitution, obliges the Bundestag, that is the Parliament, to appoint a petitions committee to deal with requests and complaints addressed to it. In terms of the recommendations that the German Parliament may make, they are graded according to the extent to which the petition is justified. And those are some of the things that the German parliament, the deputy committee in Germany will have to look at to say how justified is that particular petition that they have received. And from there they will be able to make the recommendations and say these are the recommendations as we deem them justified that we can put forward regarding the particular petition that they have received. The Petitions Committee in Germany, they perform their functions in accordance with the principles of the Petitions Committee that governs the treatment of requests and complaints. So time and again, they need to refer to the guidelines of the particular committee of that committee that governs the treatment of requests and complaints. Moving to the last country that we're viewing outside Africa is the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom has strict formalities and detailed rules regarding the submission of petitions. These include specific requirements in which in the United Kingdom they have a form that the petitioners have to sign. And the content would also be prescribed in that particular form of the petition that the petitioner should be signing. In the United Kingdom, only a member of parliament can present a petition to parliament. Once again, a similar situation as that we have in South Africa. The clerk of petition specifies that the form and content of a petition are correct before it is presented to the House. So as similar as to the other countries that we've reviewed before outside the continent, is that the clerk of petition will be the one that checks the petition thoroughly and be able to say if it is specified to actually be presented before the House. The member presenting the petition is not required to agree with the content of the petition. They are just there to present the petition even though they may be of a different view to that which the petition is saying. In terms of the standing orders, the relevant government ministry must respond within 45 calendar days after receiving a petition. In the United Kingdom, once a petition has been received, the parliament may actually refer it to a particular ministry, and that ministry is given 45 calendar days from receipt of the petition to be able to respond, and that is also in accordance with the standing orders in that country. In concluding to this, we can see that the comparative review of international precedents reveals that a number of countries reviewed adopted similar processes in terms of the eliciting legislative petitions from members of the public. These countries have a common understanding on the role and value of public petitions to their respective parliaments and governments, which is really how South Africa also views it, and that is one of the strongholds that South Africa are using. Petitions are considered by all of these countries as part of a wider parliamentary review of policy that can stimulate parliamentary debate and discussion, which can result in policy changes by the government. The petition process could be used, therefore, as an effective tool to promote public participation in parliament, as already in South Africa it is being used like that. In general, the petition procedure lacks clarity and clear direction. In order to better utilize this process, it can be done as a tool to engage with the public. At present, the process that we are using in South Africa needs to be reformed and made more efficient and effective, also catering for those petitioners or those members of the public that may be far away from Parliament and the ones who may be in rural areas being able to reach Parliament to be able to launch their petitions. By creating an effective petition process, this will assist the Parliament with fulfilling its constitutional duties to ensure the widespread of public participation. All the Parliaments from countries mentioned in this paper gave power to their committees with regards to two matters. Firstly, in terms of recognizing and referral of the petition, and secondly, to invite any person or structure that can provide information on a certain matter. However, the majority of the petitions committees have no power in taking final decisions on petitions, but rather gain the power to recommend to the House after having all the necessary information on the matter at hand. Whereas in South Africa, the committee has the power to decide what will be the final decision on that particular petition. They may involve other committees, they may involve the necessary departments or ministries, however, they will be the ones that give the final decision to what that particular petition that is concerned. Now, looking at the recommendations that the committee may wish to consider regarding the processes of petitions in order for them to deal with petitions more effectively, now the committee may wish to consider the following recommendations. The first recommendation is that 1 week can be taken for the petitioner to get assistance from the MP of provincial legislature. The reason being that, according to the rules, any rules that we have in the SCOP rules, is that looking at the way that petitions are to be presented to Parliament, it is required that the members meet the necessary requirements of the petition to be considered. Firstly, it has to be in the official language, one of the 11 official languages, and also there is a format that is, they have to have their names and signatures, their ID numbers, and all of those also presented in there. However, some of the people out there, the members of the public who are presenting these petitions, may not be aware of these processes and also the format in which it needs to be. Therefore, it will be recommended that the committee ensures that at least it is given a week for the petitioners, once they've lodged it with the MP that they would like to lodge a petition to Parliament, be given a week to be able to be assisted. If the petition is being received already in Parliament, it should maybe be referred back to say the particular provincial legislature should assist with the correct formatting of that particular petition and therefore be taken over that Parliament. Also, another recommendation would be that 2 weeks could be taken for the petitioners to get assistance from Parliament in terms of comment. Once again, the same. In terms of comment and comments of the petition. So the week would be for them to lobby their members of Parliament in the particular positions that they are in. And from there, 2 weeks could then be given that should the petition already be received, their Parliament will be able to assist them with the content of that particular petition so that it can be approved and tabled to the relevant house. Also, a clear time frame should be set for the committee to engage and investigate the content of the petition. Hence, we are also reviewing the current process of the petitions to see what time frame should be put to dealing with the petitions once received. Perhaps a period of 1 month should be adequate for this process, but of course that might be depending as well on the complexity of that particular petition in resolving it. Furthermore, the committee may see it possible as a recommendation that they may compile an annual report concerning all the petitions and proposals forwarded to it. Also, this report could then be publicized to promote public awareness on the petition process. Another recommendation would be that the post office and the e-petitions, the electronic petitions, may be the possible systems that could be used to submit petitions and to speed up the process. As we've already mentioned, that we do have members of the public, they are not close to the resource, they are not close to Parliament, but however, they may be able to access any of these facilities, the post office, or be able to access the means to submit the electronic petition, and this could assist in the submission of their petition to Parliament.
Thank you. Let's start where she started first, the African country. Having had and look at the presentation, do you have an idea as to which of the five countries can we prioritize to? Maybe before even you can comment, I should indicate that we said we cannot be modeled by Western only. We should allow our sister countries in Africa to influence the way in which we are doing it, because we are in Africa and the 21st century has been declared to be an African century. So we should, while we are learning from our former colonizers in a way, we should also recognize that some of our countries have been, independent for quite some time. Safe to say, we are still having a chunk of reasonable number of countries that are still, outside democratic processes, which helps with, we are not even going to consider any of them. But over and above that, the petition act that we are talking about is long overdue. I'm sure you are aware that the challenge that South Africa is faced with in the absence of this petition, it might become worse as time goes on if we don't create a tool that our population uses to talk to Parliament when they are confronted with challenges they might found that only violence, burning, breaking, killing is the only solution. Now we need to find a way of bringing this solution very quickly and speedily and popularizing so that our people should know that violence is not a way in Parliament to petition Parliament and make Parliament aware that you have got a complaint, and they will hold executives accountable and then arrive at a better position. So I'm saying this because I think we should not even look back. Parliament has made mistake by running for 15 years without having a clear petition act that influenced our people to have a way of complaining when they have. And then I think this activist parliament has experienced that at its entry level, to see that people are becoming impatient in the absence of a tool by parliament. So thank you. Can we then start looking at which one? We should find one country in Africa, one in outside Africa, for this financial year that we are talking about. Honorable for this.
Thank you, sir. Before I might just look at the country, I would like to find out about this subcommittee in Namibia. If this subcommittee is the one that finally take decision whether to take it to whichever ministry that is relevant, or they just take the subcommittee the one that they take the decision finally.
The subcommittee, what they then do is, because they're the ones that can deal with specialized topics that are brought before the committee, they will go and deal with a particular petition, and once they have reached their final decision, they should time and again report to the petition committee itself. So the petition committee will then, together with the information that they got, together with their particular subcommittee, decide on how the matter should then be resolved.
But
so in fact, the final decision will stand with the standing committee
itself.
But however, the subcommittee will be the one that deals with the
particular
matter.
I've been also informed that it's possible in the light of African countries that we can take a week and run them all, not one country, run them in one week. And when we come back, we're finished, Africa would then wait for a way outside the continent.
Just come again. We may
have one trip,
yes,
going through all of them in
five
Africa,
of them.
Five of them, and come back finishing them in Africa instead of one.
Oh.
Of course, it will go through a bit of muscle in terms of budget, but that is possible.
That's possible.
Because we can't, unlike, we are not an oversight committee, which will then say, would arrive at the country, meeting portfolio committee, going and meet stakeholders, we'll talk to parliament, because it's our, people that are in charge of the petitions that we want to learn from them.
And then
I think that one area that we are not going to underestimate is our own legislature. Our legislatures are far, much than the parliament. I don't know of Limpopo, because I was a member of that committee in Limpopo. They have got their own petition act, which we should also look into them, how did they got one, and I'm sure about 3-4 KwaZulu-Natal and so on. So we should also be able to look at what they have already developed in compared to our sister countries and so on. So maybe in the light of Africa, we what we may need to do, in case they said the budget does not permit, we may put them in terms of priority. We prioritize this way, and the last one being so that if they say no, you can't go beyond one, we then take our first priority to be the one to go in.
Chairperson, I agree with you on the issue of just taking on board some of the provinces and their systems that they have developed. I was in the Hauteng Native Center where we also had petitions in that specific legislature before. So I think one could learn from those institutions. But then secondly, I am a bit concerned that parliamentary budget is very, very limited. And they're going to have, they're probably going to indicate to us that if we make many stopovers, it is going to impact very heavily on the flight cost. So I just thought perhaps what we should be doing is we should look at a country in Africa where we could get some sort of direction so as to open up the process, perhaps the country with I know that the majority of the countries in Africa have a direct constituency system. I think we have a challenge because we have a PR system, which is slightly different, but I think that's why we must look at a model where, irrespective of who the MP for a particular area and whether you agree with the outcome of the election or not, you are simply the individual that is introducing it into Parliament. Because otherwise we shouldn't block the participations of the people. I fully concur with you. It is a very important tool for us to make people believe in our democracy. They must know Parliament is there for them and there's an avenue. So I want to suggest that we maybe look at, well, I was looking at the role of the clerk in Kenya and maybe saying that if we make a stopover in Kenya and we then go to the UK, which is sort of en route. We have one stopover, and flights to the UK is not as expensive as to Canada. Canada is very expensive. Germany's system of the Bundestag is again a lot different. Maybe there are similarities between some elements in Namibia and Germany, because Namibia has some influences from the German sort of part. So perhaps if we look at Kenya or we look at Ghana, and we're saying we make one stopover and then we fly to London, which is not totally out of the way, it's a one stopover and back. As I indicated, you know, serving in the WIP forum, etc., I'm acutely aware of Parliament trying to limit a sort of very expensive visit. And we must bear in mind that we are in an economic decline. I think from our part we must do the necessary research, but do so within sort of budgetary constraints. That's what I expect.
Thank you, I want to align myself with your proposal. Let's put them all in one basket and then prioritize. Let's cross the river when we get there, my honorable colleague. Let's not say, you know, this budget, criticizing, what not. No. Let's collect them and put them in one basket and prioritize whether we prioritize by Ghana or whatever, by Kenya, whatever. Secondly, in Ghana, do they have Madam Speaker? Because I saw Mr. Speaker there. So don't they have Madam Speaker?
Which is still there. Which is still there. I'm sure she just became noticed. She just took what is existing as we are talking. It's not about that, it's less than speak after a minute. In fact, she should have been just saying speaker. She didn't remove me.
Even if she said speaker, she said fine, not Mr. Speaker.
Maybe because it's a man. No, because it's a man. Be careful. She's a man.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was just thinking that if we have to close around, of course, I really agree with her that they always talk of the budget, that you have no budget. Sometimes they just stop you from going, saying the budget doesn't allow you. But I was just thinking of them, of Kenya. I was just thinking of Kenya, that if maybe for our priority we'll take Kenya, then and look at another Western countries. I was just thinking of Canada. But if that can get, will take a lot of our budget, then we can look at United Kingdom. With the Western, those are the two I was just thinking of. But I don't know how are we going to do it with these provinces that we said we want to have a look there at their system, like how they include it and so forth. I don't know whether can we be in a position of learning from them before we go to these countries.
I think that's what we may consider. But like we are saying, in terms of the 5-year plan, we were saying in each financial year we will have the study tour to other businesses. But in this immediate one, we prioritize Petition Act on the basis of the challenge we are faced with. And I guess if we put our challenge, our motivation in a manner that I've outlined here, that South Africa is facing a very serious challenge, which we are trying to bring solution to it. I don't think is there anyone who may say, even if it means we are left with 1 million, they rather said, this is a priority, let's focus on this one and leave the rest.
Okay.
I mean, where I am, unless somebody is sitting on a different chair, sitting with a different eye from what I am.
Yeah, this is I apologize to the country. Originally, I think that we are starting it up at 2. As that was the point, and then the second was going to be. But I've been in a meeting where I'm a week speech with the state authority who has been there since last week. You know, in 1996, we made a big phenomenon of country in 2 weeks. England, Netherlands, Denmark. We moved. Started from England, which was in correct effect. And from that visit, we were able to make a number of changes in our correspondence. Copying, if we are going to the African state, I think we need to go with a number of things. Because I think South Africa is more generous than the African state. So there will be very little that we get from each of the countries. But if we go to the advanced countries, we can get a lot. Because Britain and Canada can get a lot. So that is my suggestion. Like, of course, taking into account constraints that we have. Because if we, in the African state, we can go to a number of countries, 4 or 3 countries, and I think the cost is less to go to Britain, go to Kenya, Egypt, and
opinion is in them, perhaps we will get more information and learn more. Am I right to say, my understanding is we agreed that we will prioritize Africa. Well, of course, depending on the decision of the authority, to say if it was ours and then we were using our money that we are in charge of, we then said we will visit all five countries in Africa and then pick one in outside Africa. Is this the principle that we are together in? However, we would then set one Ghana, two Kenya, three Uganda, four Malawi, five Namibia. I've heard what you are saying. I'm trying to put them in terms of what I thought we may learn. If they deprive us, I think we'll then prioritize Ghana alone, if we agree. And if they agreed on two, it will be Ghana and Kenya. If they give us three, it will be Kenya and Uganda also. And then four, then we include Malawi. If they are saying five of them, then all of them. We will then, if they agreed on all of them, including if they are saying two or three, we would then refer to the prioritization chain of road to those who are dealing with those areas. But
can I just ask, although we've now established what the mechanisms are there, is it not that possible for us to do further research to find out how many petitions have been processed? Because that will determine to what extent their petitions have been popularized. I mean, and it's really working for the country. I'm concerned that some of these countries might have a petition mechanism, but it's not been popularized either due to financial constraints or whatever, and therefore it's not really been working for the parliament and for the people. Can we not perhaps also just get an idea of that before we start prioritizing it?
Do you have something?